Good morning, everyone. How is everyone doing today? Brand new week. Thoroughly enjoyed all the messages we got yesterday. Great day of a message from Pastor Silcott. If you get a chance and haven't seen him yet, I suggest you get on the either Facebook or YouTube. And they'll be up on the website later today, too. Today we're continuing Paul's journeys, and we're in Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. Start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of spending your word. Thank you, Lord, so much for just everything you do for us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So as we left off, we know that Jesus had ascended into heaven, and he had given the instructions to the disciples to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. And he said to wait in Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that will come a few days after. It's an important aspect to realize that this is really the birth of the church, and that was special in that way that even though the Holy Spirit has always been working and continues to work all through the centuries, it's kind of a special time to call the age of the church, where the Holy Spirit is with us and that we can rely on Him. He guides us and comforts us. And so here in Acts 2, we reflect that period of time when the Holy Spirit actually came unto the apostles. And I picked this verse today, being in Peter's journeys, because Peter is heavily involved with a sermon he gave. So that's why I decided to talk about this particular period today. So we'll start off here in Acts chapter 1, I mean 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, as it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm going to come back to that speaking in tongues. I want to comment about that a little bit. I'm going to finish this section first, because I want you to listen closely as to why I believe the Spirit gives us the ability to speak with tongues at certain times. Continuing verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. I really emphasize that verse right there. That's going to go on to tell us who's there. Realize that this is the days of Passover. We know, and that there was many, many people that would come to, not Passover, I'm sorry. It's a feast time anyways, and it was required to come to Jerusalem certain times of the year for the feasts. And I forget which feast it is. It's like 50 days after Passover. But so there's a lot of people in Jerusalem right now from all over the known world. Continuing on in verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these men which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man our own tongue, wherein we were born? Verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phalagria, Philippia and Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go back to where verse 10. I was a little premature in jumping to verse 10. Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And notice that there was a lot of different people in there, and I truly believe that the gift of tongues is twofold. I do believe that there's a gift of tongues that's given that, I don't know if you've ever heard it before. I have. I was in a church once that people would speak in tongues during a service. And I have a little bit of a problem with that. And as we read in some other parts of, particularly Paul addresses this quite a bit in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, he talks a lot about these gifts of the Spirit. Now, I want to bring one passage of Corinthians to help us understand what the gifts are that the Spirit gives us. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12, to try to help understand what these gifts are. This is Paul speaking. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Speaking to the Corinthians here. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. This is the main part here. Now these are the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. In other words, we all have different gifts, and so they get, but we're all one in the Lord. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Notice it says diverse kinds of tongues. Again, I emphasize that because I truly believe that there are people with a gift to learn languages. And this is where I think that they're talking about here in Acts, is that I've met people that can learn languages so easy. You think of our own First Lady, she can speak like five languages fluently. And I think that's a gift of being able to learn different languages. But also there's a type of tongues that is given by the Holy Spirit. They call it speaking to God directly. And if you've ever heard it, it sounds a little bit like gibberish. Most people can't understand it, and so, and usually what will happen is somebody will interpret in the congregation will interpret what they were saying. But most people I've heard of this that talk about this believe that that's only done during prayer, and it shouldn't disrupt a church service to speak. And I've even I know some Pentecostals that feel that they pray in tongues to God directly. But it's not something they do in public. So those are the two types of gifts I think that have to do with tongues. I'll just finish off here in verse 11. But all these worketh the one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And there's also more passages in 1 Corinthians. Paul gets into it in both chapters 13 and 14. 14 talks about the gift of tongues quite a bit, if you want to read that on your own. I'll go back to Acts. And in 12, back in Acts, and this is Peter talking to, is now going to be talking to the congregation. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." This is where Peter comes in. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea," I want to just pause here for a second and say that, remember all the problems that Peter had, you know, all through the three-year ministry with Jesus, you know, his, yeah, so as some would say, it was ready, fire, aim, Peter. He always seemed to speak out of turn at times. Now, I want you to notice the difference as we read through this part of Acts. It's quite a change in Peter going forward. And I kind of see that as a, we can look at our own lives and maybe see that once we receive the Holy Spirit, there's a change in our heart. There's a real drive to be working the things of the Lord. So continuing here in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as yet suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Should be about 9 o'clock in the morning. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And remember that, I'm going to get back to that in a second. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God." This is Joel speaking. I'm going to go to Joel here in a second and show you where this is from. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great noble day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here he's quoting Joel. I'm just going to go to Joel real quick and show you where it's at. It's in Joel 2:28. This is what Joel said. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." And basically, Peter was reflecting back. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth and blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." And if you notice that a lot of this hasn't even happened yet, by the way. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and the remnant whom the Lord shall call." That's not only a current for Peter's time, but also a future calling when the Lord will return again at the end of the tribulation. But back to Acts 22. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know." Here Peter is going to start building the evidence of trying to show these men that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah, and that he was the one spoken of by the prophets. And so he's going to build his case here in the next half a dozen verses. To show these people that Jesus really is the Messiah. Again, this is Peter's job going forward is going to be to mainly to try to spread the word of Jesus and his new dispensation there in Jerusalem. So he's starting right here. Continuing on. Verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. This is the testimony that David gave in the Psalms. I didn't get the reference, but therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, that thou shalt make me full of joy with countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. This is Peter speaking. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He's reflecting back and letting these people know, they're well-versed in the knowledge that, I believe it was Isaiah and also in Psalms, that of course the forecoming of Christ would come. And so Peter here is basically building his case with the people that that this Christ that was crucified was the Messiah that we were waiting for. Back to Acts 2:31. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So basically, he's explaining what they just witnessed and what they just saw was all foretold, and that this proves that that Jesus is the Messiah. Verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. This is a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled in the millennium, that Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David and rule the world. So he's letting the people know what the future holds. But it's not David that's going to sit on the throne, but the Lord himself is going to sit on David's throne. Verse 35, until I make the foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untold generation. And I'm going to end right here. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So you can see how many people he was actually speaking to. Quite a tent revival, wasn't it? As some of us have heard of in days past. But I think the important thing to note here too is the fact that Peter's now taking those words that he spoke with Jesus on the shore of Galilee and that to heart, and he is going to move forward and feeding his sheep. So I think that we're going to see a new Peter, and that going forward. And that's all I had for today. We'll see what tomorrow holds. I didn't really have any additional pictures. Most people believe that this happened in the upper room, that they were all waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And that's all I have for today. I'll end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Oh, thank you for these words and for the promises, and for your, and for the Holy Spirit who gives us comfort and helps us and guides us, and is with us always. Oh, thank you so much, Lord, for this day and for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Have a great day.